Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes, and yes. Matthew chapter 7, please. God is bringing us to places I want to talk about called breakthrough moments. Breakthrough moments. Everyone say breakthrough moments. You know, we need breakthrough moments. Amen. It's what keeps us going when there's a breakthrough moment. It brings encouragement. It brings, you know, it's like, man, it brings freedom. And we are entering an era of time where there's going to be multiple breakthrough moments that are going to begin to overtake us. But you got to be in position. Amen. You got to be where? In position. Matthew 7:7. What does it say? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is also connected to the three chambers of the tabernacle of God. Outer court, holy place, most holy place. The outer court, you ask. Amen? Ask. The holy place, you seek. When you seek, you are brought to another place where you knock. When you knock, the door will be open. That's the most holy place. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Wow. Many ask but don't receive. They don't receive. Why? Because they don't believe. They don't show God they believe. You know how you believe? You thank him. Amen? You do what? You thank him. Again, ask, seek, knock. Outer court, holy place, most holy place. Many ask but don't receive because they don't show God they believe. They don't show God they believe. What does believe mean? Follow. So they're not activating. One of the ways you show God you believe is you thank him. How do you thank him? You praise and worship him. In 1 Peter chapter 5. We are entering an era of breakthrough moments. Again, they are going to begin to overtake God's people. What you thought was never going to happen can happen. And we thought what was going to happen ain't happening. Because something else better is coming. Remember, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He has the first and last say. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, please. Oh, glory. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Be what? Sober, which means what? Alert. Be vigilant, which means what? Consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a lion, roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. A roaring lion. In other words, he's got a big mouth. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, you've been challenged, you know, will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you so you won't be moved again. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever. We are to be alert and consistent in faith. In what? In faith. Alert and consistent in faith. Hebrews chapter 1. How many of y'all want a breakthrough? I mean, don't you love breakthrough moments? They're awesome. Breakthrough moments can come by revelation. But sometimes things just happen because it's God and that's all it's to it. And all of a sudden there's a breakthrough moment. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1, verse 1, I believe. Is everybody there? Nice. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things through him, whom also he has made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has been inherited, obtained, obtained a more excellent name than they. So in this we know that Jesus overcame it all. Amen. He is our hero. He should be our everything. Now the Word of God says that faith, now look at the faith Jesus had. But he had faith because he constantly kept himself connected. Amen. He had breakthroughs. Even his death on the cross was a breakthrough. Nobody could do that. Amen. He rose again from the dead. That was a breakthrough. All of these were prophetic signs for me and you that we could walk in faith and know that God is the God of breakthrough. Breakthrough circumstances. Breakthrough. But you got to first what? Break out of yourself. Break out of yourself. In other words, you're not doing things for you. You're doing things for him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the what? Word of God. The Bible says faith is the substance, amen, of what? Things hoped for. But let me tell you what faith is. It is the substance of things asked for, prayed for. It is a sub. Why? Because when you pray for things, you should expect them. So faith is the substance of things asked for. That's why he says, ask, seek, and knock. This is what brings breakthrough moments. Faith is the substance of things asked for. James chapter 4. Glory. James chapter 4. Is everybody okay? James 4 and verse 6. We are entering an era of breakthrough moments. Again, but you got to stay in position. Verse 6, let's speak it together. Hallelujah. But he gives more what? Grace, which is God's plan. Therefore, he says, God resists the what? The proud. but gives grace to the what? Humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? Lift you up. God doesn't answer the proud. Humble yourself and God will lift you up. Yes. We are coming to the place in the area of as individuals and servants and children of God. He says, come out from among them and be separate. Amen. So we want to come to a place where we are helplessness. In other words, that's humble. Do you remember when you really needed help? There was no help. You became helplessness. This is how God moves for us. We become what? Helpless. I can't do this, Lord, by myself. I can't do this. Without you, I can't do anything. Amen? So that's the first thing. I'm going to talk about a few of them. Helplessness. We must be wholehearted, surrendered. We must come to these places of helplessness, wholehearted surrender. The third one. Do not justify your reward. You and I don't deserve anything. In other words, don't work for rewards. Never tell God, well, you've done this and you've done that. You expect this. Hello? No justification of reward regarding yourself. Well, I earned it. Oh, no, you didn't. We earn God's trust, don't we? Amen? The fourth thing is, no longer rest in yourself. You rest in Him. In fact, if you attempt to rest in yourself, it's really no rest. The fifth thing is, we no longer live a life of assumption. We stop assuming. That doesn't mean you ask 60,000 questions. How about trust? I don't want to assume. Hallelujah. But again, if there's something that you're supposed to do in an assignment, don't assume. Ask. Amen? Don't assume. Well, I thought this, what I figured. No. And the sixth thing is, stay away from selfish ambitions. I do have a seventh one. But we're going to go to Matthew 6. Coming to this place of helplessness, wholehearted surrender, no justification of reward, no longer resting in yourself, no longer a life of assumption, and no selfish ambitions. Matthew 6. Why? Because we want to live with breakthrough moments. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to depart from evil. That's a breakthrough moment. Does everybody get in? Because you recognize it and it's like, I'm out of here. Breakthrough moment. Why? It'd have been, because it wouldn't be a breakthrough anymore. I went to get some parts today, material back and forth multiple times, and I was a little frustrated in how the job was going, but, you know, God just kept encouraging me. I knew there was going to be a breakthrough moment as soon as I finished this job. But on my way back, there was cars all around. I had to go around. When I finally got to see what was happening, there was a motorcycle laid out and a truck or a vehicle smashed head on. And I thought, "Dear God, Lord." So I began to pray for the individual. And I began to think of how many times God rescued me from head-on collisions, from motorcycle accidents and so forth. Breakthrough moments. Amen. So I pray for this guy, whoever it was on that motorcycle, to have a breakthrough moment. Matthew 6:31. You know, you may think you have circumstances that are rough until you see somebody else's circumstance. Verse 31, let's speak it. Therefore, do not what? Oh, snap. Worry is the seventh one. Fear. You can't get a breakthrough moment if you're fearful, if you're in a constant worry. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we drive, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. How many of y'all know he knows what you need before you even ask? But seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hello! And all these things will be added to you. You don't have to run to the phone or Google or anything else. Go to him. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. No fear or worry. Seek first his righteous character. Exchanging, now I want to share this, exchanging your disappointments for his divine appointments. You have the authority to speak that in. Man, when you get disappointed, exchange it for his divine appointment. Amen? Does everybody get it? That's what Jesus paid the price for. That's called breakthrough moment. Why? Because then after that you can expect a breakthrough moment. Why? Because a divine appointment's going to come. Philippians 3. Sometimes things got to go to its worst before it can go to its best. Sometimes you got to eat enough humble pie. Hello? Till you get to that place where you are wholeheartedly surrendered. Philippians 3:13. Breakthrough moments. We're entering that era of a lot of breakthrough moments. The seventh one was fear. Well, you missed it. Did I not count them right? I'm good. Thanks, Katie. You better get the tape. Which ones you miss, hon? First one's helplessness. The second one is wholehearted surrender. The third one is no justification of reward. The fourth one is no longer resting in yourself. The fifth one is no longer a life of assumption. Is that the one, assumption? Okay. No, the sixth one is no selfish ambitions. Certainly. Is everybody there? Philippians 3:13. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:13. That's what I said. Brethren, I do not count myself to have what? Apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are what? Ahead. That's living from the future. How you live from the future? By faith. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. In other words, remember, the mind is nothing but a storage unit of thoughts. Think about this. It's a storage unit of what? Thoughts. Thoughts and memory. Now, they're connected to emotions and so forth. But you must look at the mind. So what do we want? We want the mind of Christ, His thoughts, His words, no longer ours. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Oh, hallelujah. Press on to press through. Amen. We must press on to press through. We must break loose from ourselves before we can get a breakthrough. So that's why the Word tells us the first thing to do is what? Deny yourself. Deny yourself. It always, that's God's law. That's His rule. Don't fight for yourself. Deny it. 1 Corinthians 4. I'm telling you, there's a breakthrough bus coming at every corner. It says breakthrough. Ooh. What you waiting on? Breakthrough. It's number 777. And I'm not telling you to go to the slot machines and play 777. You ain't getting a breakthrough, amen? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so consider us as what? Is anybody there? Servants of what? Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, we're servants to the anointing. Amen? And we're carriers of the mysteries of God that are truth. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful. That's somebody walking in faith. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from the Lord. Well, one of the things in this scripture, it always reminds me about refreshing your identity. Doing what? Refresh your identity. What's the first thing the devil likes to come and steal? Your identity. That's how people drift. Their identities. Because why? Now they are identifying themselves more in the sicknesses and fears and lack of this and lack of that and doubt and all the things they should have done and didn't do. Their identity is then in their possessions or what they've done. That's not who your identity is. Your identity is in Christ and only Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. Your identity is not in a position or your education. Your identity is in Christ. Verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, please. But you are what? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. No one ever said that you would feel like a royal priesthood. Does everybody understand that? You can't go by how you feel. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Not only obtained mercy, but you will obtain favor. Why? Because we're about to enter breakthrough moments. If you're in position, right? See, maintaining your identity is so essential. You're a royal priesthood. You're an ambassador of Christ. You're more than a conqueror. You are the offspring of the anointed one and his anointing. Amen? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. So do not love the world, amen, or the things in the world. Why? Because it will steal your identity. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Who's the ruler of the earth? Or the world system, I should say, Satan, amen. The world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. In other words, they lost their identity. They allowed the enemy to steal it. Other things became more priority. Money, work, this, that, self, you know, all the other things. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. We are the anointed ones as Christ's offsprings. Amen? That's an identity. You is greater than he's in the world. Acts chapter 17. I think the body of Christ has been in an identity crisis for a while. And it's being awakened to its true identity of who they are. Hallelujah. Acts 17, verse 29. Let's speak it together. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the what? Divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of stupidity and ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent, turn. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. Yes. We are the offsprings with a divine nature. Amen. The world is looking for the light. We are carriers of the light. But the devils are trying to distract the world from the truth that is in us. They do a very good job. They distract. They put things in front. They put desires in front. They put lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life in front. They compromise. That's the number one thing the enemy loves to do, is get an individual, a believer, into a compromised state. Then he knows he can get him into a fallen state. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Love him. Because they're called mysteries. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So without relationship in the Spirit, how are you going to know what's up? God's got prepared for you. How do you know his promises? You can't live from the future. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, and reveals them to us through the anointing. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the carnal man, the fallen state of man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, rejects conviction. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And again, what is the mind of Christ? It is the storage of God's thoughts, purposes. It is his thoughts. It's his words. That's why we must allow the mind of Christ to always supersede the carnal mind. See, the Spirit directs, the Holy Spirit directs the human spirit, the new creation in Christ. That's a union, the Holy Spirit and your new spirit. And as the Holy Spirit directs your new spirit, they have dominion over your soul, your emotions. They have dominion over your flesh, so that every time something comes up that God says no to, you'll cooperate with it. No. 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 Or yes. Does everybody understand this? But again, these things must maintain an activated state of being. That's why they must be refreshed. Amen? You notice how everything these days is cordless? Well, still, the reason why it's cordless is because it's got the battery. But when that battery dies, you got to recharge it. Amen? Or it doesn't work. And sometimes you don't want to get caught out there without a battery working, man. Same thing with the mind of Christ working. It must be recharged. Refreshed. Remember, the mind of Christ is the storage unit of God's words, thoughts, and purposes of Christ. Colossians chapter 3. Breakthrough moments. Oh, they're here and they're coming and they're going to start to overtake if you're in position. Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. Let's speak it together. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your thoughts on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Well, if you're setting your things above, then you're cooperating with the mind of Christ, aren't you? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to what? Death. Your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So how are you going to put on the new man if you're not renewing yourself in the knowledge and so forth, renewing the mind of Christ? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, this is access to a breakthrough moment. God grants you the access to a breakthrough moment. You can't create it yourself. God grants you the access to a breakthrough moment. Why? By obedience, by cooperation. Go to Hebrews 10. I really believe that a breakthrough moment is a reward from God. Now, he makes a way of escape for people, hello, that are in trouble. That's mercy. But there are breakthrough moments. A breakthrough that he wants to bless his children with. But there's cooperation and obedience in every area. And sometimes he's requiring you to do something for a breakthrough that just doesn't make sense. Hello? But it can release a lot of bucks. It can release a lot of things. Breakthroughs. So many times people need financial breakthrough. The whole body of Christ needs a financial breakthrough. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, but it ain't coming unless people start getting breakthroughs. And many will get the breakthrough, and many won't. Why? Because they'll miss those opportunities. In Hebrews 10:32, let's speak it. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproach and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession in yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Your confidence in who? The Lord, not you. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God or the things God required you to do, you may receive a what? Breakthrough. A promise of a breakthrough. A breakthrough moment. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe in the saving of the soul. Yes. You receive access to the breakthrough by cooperation. Again, there's breakthrough moments that God grants you access. Now, there'll be breakthrough moments that God hasn't granted you access because there wasn't a full cooperation. But they had been coming and gone. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in himself, or man, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when what? Good comes. That's an opportunity, isn't it? That's an opportunity of breakthrough. God is granting access for that opportunity. Or he was going to, but he didn't see it. But shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes. But its leaves shall be what? Green. And will not be anxious, which is actually fear, in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. He won't be anxious. He won't fear when things are all around him seem to be going bad. Why? Because he lives a life of breakthrough. Somebody get it? He has access to breakthroughs. Those who walk along with the Lord and are submissive and obedient live a life of access to breakthroughs. The heart is a deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, the thoughts, even to give every man according to his ways, according to fruit of his doings. Again, I want to share with you that we are entering an area of breakthrough moments. There's going to be more. There's going to be a lot of things getting ready to happen. And it's not about your works. It's about your obedience. Amen? It's about our obedience. We must be alert and consistent. We must maintain our routines. We must maintain the presence of the Lord. Because the enemy loves to replace the presence of God with another presence. And it ain't from God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Entering an era of breakthrough moments. Thank you, Father, for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we all desire breakthrough moments, Lord. So keep us alert. Keep us consistent. Let the Holy Ghost guide us, show us, slap us if we need it, so that we may maintain an awake state of being and be ready in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Praise God.